When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. On a day after our two teams that both of us root for played in a play-in game last night. You, Hembo, a Philadelphia 76ers fan. Me, a Miami Heat fan, you with a better day than me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. That was the most Sixers-Heat game you could have possibly expected to have. It had all the things that a typical Sixers-Heat game would have. It was extremely physical. We had the Eric Spoelstra zone. We had Joel Embiid lumbering around. We had the Jimmy Butler injury, of course, and that's probably where we need to start, given the fact that Woj just broke that news a few minutes ago.
Yeah, he did, and unfortunately for Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat and anybody that roots for them or roots for just overall good basketball and intense playoff basketball, playoff Jimmy, he is now out a few weeks with this MCL injury in his knee. He got hurt in the first quarter of the game last night. Obviously, a huge, huge blow for Miami and their chances. Now, can they beat Chicago in a one-game play-in on Friday night on ESPN and ESPN Radio? Yes, of course they can in a one-game setting like that, but it's going to be much more difficult. Can they beat Boston without him? The answer would be no on that one. I don't know that they could have beaten Boston this year with him. But if you look back to last night's Philadelphia win, 105-104, where Philly now advances to play the Knicks in a very interesting series. Butler gets hurt in the first quarter. Kelly Oubre comes down in his leg, but Miami was still up, and Jimmy played through it, 51-39 at the half. Philly had 12 turnovers. Miami had 9 steals and 21 points off the bench in that first half. Miami played a tremendous zone early on, and specifically two guys really helped them. They're not household names, but I do want to shout them out. And Haywood Highsmith and DeLon Wright, who really helped in that first half. Embiid and the Sixers in that second half really took over. And when I say Embiid and the Sixers, I mean the and the Sixers part because of Embiid more than Embiid. Because they, against that zone, the Sixers in the first half were terrible. And in the second half, Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Sixers, realized a couple of things. One, Miami doesn't have a point guard. Not they don't have one on their roster. They don't have one playing. Terry Rozier was out. And so they started immediately doubling the ball in the backcourt with Tyler Hero, who is a good ball handler, not a great ball handler by any stretch of the imagination. And they took them out of their offense. In addition, they got the ball in the middle of the zone to Embiid to then distribute the ball. There's one play specifically where he got it to Kelly Oubre down low that was tremendous. But the key to this game, two things in addition to the injury. One, Nicholas Batum was unbelievable. Hit 6 threes in the second half, had 20 points in this game, his high as a Sixer. He was averaging 5 points a game with Philadelphia this year. 7 of 12 from the field, 6 of 10 from behind the arc, 6 threes in the second half, had a huge block with under a minute to go on Tyler Hero, and had a force of a backcourt violation with the game tied at 96 all with 55.1 seconds to go. That Kelly Oubre then had a 3-point play after that. It should have been a foul call, I believe, on Batum. It wasn't. Not his fault. He forced Hero into a backcourt violation. So he was huge. And I am not kidding, Hembo, when I tell you this. Free chicken played a massive factor in this game. Let me say that again. Free chicken played a massive factor in this game. This is not a joke. The Philadelphia 76ers, your hometown team, Cam's hometown team, is part of the hashtag crew here on Greeny, has a promotion that if a player on the opposing team misses 2 free throws, the fans get free chicken. Those fans were dead leading up to that moment. They were booing Tobias Harris every time he touched the ball for Philadelphia. They were booing their entire team. Caleb Martin missed 2 free throws. Those fans at 59-48 Miami with 6:57 to go in the third quarter erupted because they got free chicken. Philadelphia then went on an 8-0 run and outscored Miami by double digits from that moment on. Nicholas Batum, free chicken, and Jimmy Butler's injury, your three storylines from last night. Before we get to the future with Embiid here, Hembo, your thoughts?
Yes, it's the free chicken game. It's the
It's
the free chicken game, and I think you hit the nail on the head in identifying Nicholas Batum as the biggest difference maker in this game. Obviously, he went 6 of 10 from three. His teammates went 6 of 25 from three. Miami had answers for everyone Philly threw at him, except Nicholas Batum, who was, I wouldn't say a throw-in, but was a piece that the Sixers received in the James Harden trade. And thank God we did, because if Nicholas Batum had not played basically the game of his life yesterday, at least the game of his 76ers career, well, they'd be playing Chicago with a chance to play Boston and probably be swept. It was a huge, huge game for a player that the city of Philadelphia has naturally fallen in love with, and honestly, kind of gives Joel Embiid a pass for playing one good quarter in a game that they needed him to play four. So thank God for the fact that Nicholas Batum played that game that night.
Agreed. And it was offense and defense for him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So the chicken, can we talk about that for a second?
We need to talk about the chicken.
And I mean in a serious way.
A very serious way.
You're giving me a look like it's not serious.
I mean, it's a little bit of.
Do you not think the chicken was a turning point?
I think it was. I think the chicken was a turning point, but I don't want to start to venture into the frivolous here. I mean, I want to have a serious sports conversation with you.
I am. They were down 11 points at that point with 6:57 to go in the third. Do the math. How much did they outscore Miami by the rest of the way?
Well, they won by 1 point.
Right, but they were down 11. So they outscored them by 12.
By 12 points.
You're good at math.
Very. They went on like I think it was an 8-0, 9-0 run.
8-0.
Immediately following it.
And the fans, and we know about the Philly fans, they are not easy, obviously. They are going to be tough on you. They were booing their own team.
And rightfully so. Look, I mean, the atmospherics in the building change the moment you know you're getting free chicken. Starts the run, win by 1 point, and they needed every single one of those points. I don't know that there's a... Look, I'm going to be incredibly biased or sound incredibly biased here because I am a Philadelphia fan. But there are very few towns, there are very few arenas where you can actually say that you can feel the atmospherics change. In Philadelphia, you can go from negative to positive really, really quickly. We've seen the Eagles boot off the field at halftime a million times. They come back, respond in the second half. It's a sign that we care. It's a sign that we care in a play-in game, a game of enormous consequence, of course, for Tobias Harris to be getting it, for the fans to be dead, for that moment to change everything. It's the free chicken game.
It really is. I mean, that's not it. I brought this up today to Tim Legler, and he said that there is no doubt that is the turning point moment of the game. That's not an X's and O's point, but the vibe in that building last night changed.
It did.
When Caleb Martin missed the two free throws. It's legitimate. It comes off like we're joking and we're mocking this, but if you actually think about it, if Caleb Martin hits one of two free throws in the third quarter, two things happen. One, that's one more point for Miami. That's 105-105. The game doesn't actually happen the same way after that, but you get that. And they don't get the free chicken, which mm-hmm. means the fans are not interested in, not into the game in which they were as a result of that. Now there's the Embiid part of it. So, Hembo, you are aware of the fact that I have been hyping up your team almost more than I've been hyping up my own team. Mm-hmm. We can get to the Heat in a second with the Jimmy injury. I have said that I think that the Philadelphia 76ers, based on what I've seen from them since Embiid is back, should be disappointed in a non-finals run. That's how good I think that they have been. They've won 9 games in a row currently, even though Boston finished 14 games up on number 2 in the Eastern Conference. So I've hyped them. I have to preface it that way. I was very disappointed in the way they played last night. Even though they won, even though they came back, Embiid looked two things to me last night. He looked hurt, and he looked out of shape for him, for a professional athlete. The second one is completely understandable coming off of an injury for all that period of time. The hurt part is one that would scare me big time if I were a Philadelphia 76ers fan like you and Cam. Because that guy kept going at his knee last night. That guy looked like you kept readjusting things. Mike Breen and company mentioned it before the game. During the game, it looked like he was in pain. That would scare. It's hard for me to sit here and reiterate the points that I've made about them making a big run if he's not 100% healthy.
I've got a couple numbers to affirm your eye test there. So according to Second Spectrum data, Joel Embiid moved more slowly yesterday than any game this season. His average speed, which is something that we can track.
Explain what that is. It's just running all over the court.
Just how fast are you moving at all times in which you are on the court? His average speed yesterday was 3.3 miles per hour. All right. For the context, it's the slowest he has moved in any game this season. So that's one piece of it that backs up your eye test. Secondly, as a primary defender yesterday, Joel Embiid allowed 26 points. He allowed more points as a primary defender than any player on either team in that game. The Heat shot 9 of 15 when he was the primary defender. He was not moving laterally nearly as well as we're accustomed to seeing him move. And so what your eyes are telling you are exactly right. He was a massive liability on defense, and thus his movement patterns weren't nearly satisfactory enough. Now, one thing you could say is Joel Embiid playing so badly and the Sixers still winning could be an encouraging sign. But in the end, the Sixers' lot in life this postseason is going to be, if not solely determined, in large part determined by how healthy he is. And given the fact that he has missed games in 5 of the 11 playoff series in which he has played, I got a lot of, oh, here we go again, when I was watching that game last night.
Who was happier last night, Boston or New York? Because I don't know how either one of those two franchises could look at this and feel like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Let's look at it.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Okay, let's look at it from both perspectives. Boston, at the moment they realized that Miami was not going to win, had that moment of fear of, here we go again. This team has eliminated us 2 of the last 3 years. In addition, they have to look at that first half with Miami and think, oh, that team's back. Like, not back regular season, 10 games over 500, play-in team. Like, oh, no. The team that we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals last year and lost to in the Eastern Conference Finals, there's still something left in them. Then when they learned this morning by way of Adrian Wojnarowski that Jimmy Butler is out for weeks, that they are no longer fearful of the winner of Miami and Chicago. And they are. I don't think you can watch that last night and be fearful of Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, because I don't think if you're Boston, you can assume that Embiid is going to be 100% healthy by the time the Eastern Conference Finals rolls around. In addition, because we have sat here and said that we now look at Embiid differently than we did a week ago and 2 weeks ago. I was at the game, Heat Sixers, what, a week and a half, two weeks ago, whatever it was. He looked not fast, but that team looked way better than they did last night. So if you're the Knicks, you're getting a banged up Joel Embiid. And Maxey, who I love, was not very good last night.
He was not.
So I think both teams got to feel pretty good right now.
Have you seen the series price for Sixers-Knicks by chance?
Well, this is what I don't understand.
Tell me.
Our producer, Nuno, for Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio.
He hates me, doesn't he?
I think most do.
Mm. You're just affirming my
the numbers support the eye test.
all the data collection show.
Yeah, exactly. I've asked 3 people, do you like Hembo? No. So actually, you're correct.
3 for 3.
That. Yeah, data supports the eye test on that one. He brought up, which I couldn't believe, that series went deeper into Philly being a favorite as the morning went on. And yeah. I don't understand how that's possible.
When I woke up this morning and I checked the line, it was a pick 'em. And right now at ESPN Bet, looking at the live odds, it's Philly minus 115, the Knicks minus 105, which tells me that Vegas is not nearly as worried about Joel Embiid as the public is. That's what that number tells me. Because, yes, I understand, like, Joel Embiid played a bad game yesterday. He played one good quarter.
So, Hembo, what you're telling me is my initial gut feeling about the Sixers is actually based on Vegas and ESPN Bet is correct, and that last night is the anomaly to actually the way I was feeling the last 3 weeks, which is they could go to the finals.
Yes, 100% what you just said. Last night's an aberration. Last night's an outlier. That's what that number is telling me. The Knicks, and this is a coin flip series, the dictionary definition of a coin flip series. I think there is just as good a chance that Joel Embiid kind of lumbers through this round of the playoffs as Joel Embiid's conditioning continues to improve. Like, I've watched Joel Embiid play hundreds of basketball games, and so many of them look like they do last night, and then 2 days later, sometimes, he's going to go 45, 15, and 5 on 65% shooting.
But he's never done that in the playoffs.
That's right. And that, Cam...
And you're not going to get the game of Nicholas Batum's life every game. That's
do you think that Vegas
knows that
too?
Yeah, but you'll get a Tyrese Maxey game that's way better than what we saw last
for sure. But there'll be nights, I think, where either Embiid or Maxey has an off night where they can't really afford to have that when Embiid's not 100% and they're playing even a Knicks team that's is beaten down but is still really good. Like they can't always rely on the other pieces to pick them up, and Embiid's had that too many times in the playoffs. You can only have so many off nights when you're not 100%, and he
has
them all
the time.
So you're
down on them after last night. Last night frustrated you as a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I wasn't as high on them coming into this playoffs as you certainly were, or other people were, because yeah. I just know every time Embiid gets here and he's not 100%, it turns into, oh, he's going to miss game three. Oh, now he's battered for game four. Like, I just
see the
avalanche coming, and I can't.
The playoffs
can't
haven't started yet, though.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I got out of that mindset of Embiid is not good in the playoffs. Embiid always gets hurt in the playoffs because of what I saw the last few weeks of the season. Last night got me back into that mindset to where Cam just said, like, if you tell me he doesn't play in game one, I'll believe that.
Sure.
Based on the injury.
I think he will play. I just think he just might not be even 90% until the second round of the playoffs. And
I don't know if they're going to get there based on the way they played.
That's the thing.
Night.
There's a chance they might not even get there.
What the Knicks are is what the Heat have been the last few years, is we're going to outwork you, outsmart you, and try to beat you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so Miami, like, yes, it's somewhat of a leap, but if Miami had Jimmy Butler healthy the entire game last night, I think they win that game.
They win that game last night.
The biggest problem for Miami, as somebody that watches all the games, is I knew when they were up 14, that's a problem. Miami is better, as odd as this sounds, down 14, they are up 14.
Mm-hmm.
They always blow leads at all times. So being up 14 is actually discouraging as a Heat fan. Down 14 is like, oh, okay, got this. Good.
Where we want them.
No, seriously. Exactly where the Heat want them. So it's frustrating for me because there's going to be conversation. Did we see Jimmy Butler play the last game he'll ever play for the Miami Heat? Would they ever consider moving on from Jimmy Butler? I don't think they're going to want to, obviously. Do I think he's going to want a contract extension? Yes. Do I think his play in the regular season will warrant that? Absolutely not. And do I think that they're going to be excited to give it to him coming off of this injury? No, I don't. So I think, but now he still has a couple of years left. But there could be some tension, let's say, in the offseason. It wouldn't surprise me.
He's going to be 35 next year.
Yeah, and what the interesting thing about Butler is that they've never actually done with him, is they've never gone all in around him.
He is no spring-free chicken.
That was a theme. Cam, are you in agreement on that, by the way? That the free chicken was the turning point?
I am just more amused by the fact that twice in 1 week we had free chicken games because Boban Marjanovic missed a shot for free chicken for Clippers fans
on purpose, right?
Yeah, on purpose.
Which,
I don't think Caleb Barton did that, but I'm just fascinated that this is now
Caleb
a storyline.
So did Jonte Porter, by the way.
Yeah, I was gonna make that joke.
Oh, my bad.
That
was a layup.
Ready to go.
I'm sure you did.
You don't believe that I had a Jonte Porter joke ready to go?
I mean, you could have, but it's really easy to say now. Like, oh yeah, I knew that was the right answer to the trivia question. Really easy to say now that you had that joke in your holster.
It's easy to say now that Bill Belichick's not a good coach when he's not coaching. We can say otherwise coming up. It's Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike in for Greeny. Okay, so what were you just doing?
I was checking my 401k.
And how does that help in our conversations about the NBA playoffs?
During the break.
Or Bill Belichick?
It doesn't, but it does help me answer my question that I thought of out of my head.
Which is?
How much is in my 401k?
Well, you went to the right place to find out that info.
Satisfactory answer or no?
Unsatisfactory answer.
And how do we change that? Maybe by not focusing on it during the show? Yes. Maybe your 401k could actually have an increase in funds if you focus on the show instead of your 401k.
If I do my job better.
Yeah.
We should do that.
So just to out some things here. So far we have you focusing on the 401k, Cam and I not able to email one another for some reason.
Really bizarre.
And Brandon, who's in charge of the entire set here, feeling the need. He's a wonderful guy. Feeling the need to open wrappers of candy while we are speaking.
He's also like 8 feet from us, so it's incredibly loud and distracting. So if at any point during our A block, during our in-depth, invasive Heat Sixers conversation, I lost my train of thought or Evan lost his train of thought, blame no one further than Brandon.
What are we eating, Brandon?
Brandon's eating, are these Lifesavers? They're Lifesavers.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Cam. I know someone who will shame him for whatever he's eating.
It's his diet.
Hembo, over to you.
How could you possibly turn this into a referendum on me and my shame and my judgment of people? He can. That's Brandon's nutrients, by the way. He considers that a fruit. Lifesavers for Brandon are a fruit. That red food coloring, really, really good for your system.
Like I said, there is one other thing. One other thing. Did one of the Property Brothers steal a scissor from you? So the Property Brothers came in with us on Unsportsmanlike the other day. They were awesome. They were like particularly great. Kudos to Nuno and our entire team. Chris Mitchell, who I assume was a part of this, and Pat and Javante. You don't know who any of these people are.
You're just saying random people's names to see if I know who they
Nuno
are.
Nuno is our producer. Chris Mitchell's in charge of all guest booking at ESPN Radio.
Right. I've heard of him now.
And Pat?
Pat is a producer on your show.
And Javante.
A producer on your show,
right.
Obviously.
So, okay, they got the Property Brothers from HGTV.
Are there, by the way?
That would be two.
Two guys.
Yeah. They came in studio with us, and now, per sources close to me, they stole a scissors from you?
Yeah, so yesterday I was informed by Jack, by Pineapple Jack, member of the hashtag crew, of course, and Rob, our social guy, that my scissors were heisted by a member of the Property Brothers. Rob, can you please explain briefly?
Yeah, so after Unsportsmanlike, we're exiting the studio, and I walk out, and one of the Property Brothers looks to me. He turns, said, "Hey, do you have a pair of scissors on you?" I didn't have a pair of scissors in
obviously.
My pocket for him.
You're so not an art teacher.
Is that normal where someone would have a pair of scissors on them?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we pull these out of my smock.
And pair is such an interesting word for scissors, because it is one scissor, but it's a pair of fingers that go into the scissors.
It's a well-made point.
Thank
well,
you.
It's like
so
pair
by
of pants.
Default, I look for Ardoco, and I look for Jack. Jack, do you have any scissors on you? He looks around. No. Hold on. Wait a second. And pulls out a pair of scissors from a drawer. Come to find out that drawer is your drawer.
My desk drawer.
And the Property Brother, which I thought would go on to Greeny or First Take, he had, you know, possibly another stop throughout the studio.
Right.
Proceeds to leave Seaport Studios with your scissors.
Just in his pocket? Just like carrying them?
Just carrying them.
We have any idea how this could be a thing? Like any idea why this might happen?
They could not have been nicer and kinder, and they were great. They don't feel like thieves.
This is theft, like in plain sight, shamelessly. Who just walks out of ESPN with a pair of my scissors? This is worse than when Rob Lowe stole Mike Tannenbaum's backpack.
Wait, what?
This is worse than when Rob Lowe stole Mike Tannenbaum's backpack.
What is that story?
Rob Lowe was here visiting your show. This was a few months ago, wasn't it?
If it was our show, I wasn't on it, and I haven't missed any shows.
It was definitely pre-Evans show.
It was probably KJM, I would assume, at that
point.
It
must have been KJM, but this was probably right about around the changeover. Rob Lowe was in the green room.
Right.
Took Mike Tannenbaum's backpack, because he thought it was a swag bag, because it said ESPN on it. And Mike Tannenbaum's iPad, he starts freaking out. Like, Mike Tannenbaum was, like, very, very worried about this. We somehow got a hold of Rob Lowe's guy, and they drove back Mike Tannenbaum's backpack.
That is amazing.
To the
Gets
seaport.
On a jet with Tannenbaum's.
He almost
I think
boarded
they were about to board a plane.
Yes, he almost boarded his private helipad here, or a helicopter in the helipad here, with Mike Tannenbaum's backpack,
so,
thinking it's a swag bag.
100 years ago. I don't – well, Hembo probably never did this. Cam and Bubba may have done this. But a long time ago, when I was living in South Florida full-time and I was covering the Miami Dolphins, I got hired by ESPN to basically get post-game guests for the Sunday ESPN radio show. Mm-hmm. So you would find whoever was the best player, and you really work hard to try to work with the media relations team to get a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So one time I got Maurice Jones-Drew when he was on the Jaguars calling in to whoever was on – I don't remember the time – on ESPN radio as a guest. I give him my phone, or I dial into the number, I talk to the producer, I give him my phone. He does the interview and he says, "All right, thanks." Puts the phone in his pocket. I said, no, that's my phone. That's not a parting gift. Because I think that so many celebrities are used to swag bags,
yes,
gifts,
sure,
for,
yes,
appearances,
100%.
Whatever. So Maurice Jones-Drew unintentionally stole my phone, to which I had to ask for it back.
Does he just think this is mine now?
It's like an ESPN phone. It's my ESPN phone.
It was an ESPN phone.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. I did have an ESPN phone.
That's so
because
bizarre.
Because that was the only way you could get all the scores and information at that time on the go. I had the ESPN pager back in the day. I had all the ESPN
wow.
stuff.
Wow. You're a company
I'm
man.
So cool.
By the way, though, like it's one thing to Fan think. Boy. Yes, it's one thing to think that you're getting a parting gift. But the Property Brother asked for the scissors and then left with them without explanation, apparently. So I do think it's worth getting to the bottom of this, and at minimum, with like A, an explanation, and B, a new pair. Mm. Is that too much to ask?
Well, here's what's going to happen. Rob is now going to leave us on the set here because he's now going to take this video. He's going to cut it up and put it out there, and we are going to tag the Property Brothers, who are wonderful, Drew and Jonathan Scott, and have a new show coming to HGTV June 2nd, 9 p.m. Eastern, I believe, backed by the bros. So you have that, and
you know what they do on that
scissor.
Show? They cut up a lot of paper.
They
and
cut
they
up
needed
a lot of paper.
Scissors to
they
do that.
Needed a scissor. Here's a terrible transition. Belichick has been cut up the last few days. Rob, you can go. Like, Rob's still here.
By the way, that's a Jack thing. Pineapple Jack will just sit there and watch Greeny talk for 20 minutes because Greeny's too afraid to be like.
I don't know
like,
what Jack actually does. I know what Rob does.
Rob just gives Jack just gives away my stuff, apparently.
Okay, got it. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money. Make sure your family is well taken care of with life insurance. Protect your phones, like the one I gave to Maurice Jones-Drew. Laptops, like the one Mike Tannenbaum gave to Rob Lowe. And more with electronic device insurance. And cover your furry friends with pet health insurance. So I don't know. We will have to talk to our friends at Progressive. Do they cover scissors?
Mm.
So the last couple of days have been really interesting, and really the last couple of months since Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots parted ways. We saw the Dynasty documentary on Apple TV Plus, and we read a great story on ESPN.com about the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick specifically, and Bill Belichick voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. And there was conversations about Belichick and him trying to persuade Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, to get the job in Atlanta, which did not work out. And for some reason, it was leaked to Seth Wickersham and Don Van Atta and Jeremy Fowler, the phenomenal reporters who wrote this story, that it almost came off, to me at least, as a Belichick lover. I love Bill Belichick. I think he's the best coach ever, and I will support him with all things football here. That it almost came off like the Atlanta Falcons organization was bragging about the fact that they did not have him in their top three of candidates. In addition, there was reporting about the idea that maybe Robert Kraft, when consulted by his friend, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, didn't necessarily put in good words for Bill Belichick and kind of spun it negatively about Belichick after 20 years and 6 Super Bowls, 9 appearances together. So all of this negative PR that has been out there has triggered many former players, including our very own Damian Woody, who was on with us this morning on Unsportsmanlike, to defend his former head coach against those that are critiquing him.
What the hell is a family environment? I thought it was about winning. Everything's about winning. It's about winning championships. Everything comes with winning. I get so sick of this whole, you know, we want to collaborate, you know, collaborate. What the hell does that even mean? Like, we're trying to win championships. You're talking about a football savant, a football genius, and he's not even like in your top three. I can't even take you seriously. You're talking about the greatest coach in NFL history, and he's not even in your top three, all because we want to be collaborative.
Awesome stuff from Damian Woody. This per the article. The sources said Kraft made it clear to blank that you'll never have a warm conversation with Bill Belichick, echoing what Bill Parcells told Kraft in 1996 that he wanted to bust the budget and hire Belichick. Blank likes coaches who feel part of the family, a Falcon source said, and it wasn't going to be that way with Bill. So all of this negative PR, all of these negative stories from the dynasty to this article, and I don't believe in any way, shape, or form, obviously, the writers of this article were looking for anything negative. This is what came to them by way of their amazing sourcing and reporting. I think all of this, as a Belichick stan like I am, is awesome for Bill Belichick. Absolutely awesome. Now, why is it awesome for Bill? Why would it be awesome that organizations are saying he's unhirable, that people are saying he will not confide to or he will not be molded with the rest of the organization and work collaboratively, and people saying that his former boss put in a bad word? Why in the world would that be awesome for Bill Belichick? I will tell you what. Over the last few weeks, we have had more ex-players of significance speak out on his behalf in a way that they had not when he was divorced from the Patriots. Stephon Gilmore, great corner, won MVP, defensive MVP under Belichick. Damian Woody, as we just heard. Julian Edelman. All of these other players are out there. Chris Canty, who played against Belichick and not for Belichick, on our show on Sportsmanlike this morning, speaking out on behalf of Belichick. What's happening now is everyone is realizing the absurdity of this man, who is the greatest coach in NFL history, for him to be unemployed and not voluntarily unemployed. That everyone is now speaking on his behalf in a way that they did not, because they didn't feel like they needed to defend him. They probably never felt like someone needs to have this guy's back, because this is ridiculous. And every owner that has passed on hiring Bill Belichick is making themselves look worse and worse and worse by all of these stories coming out about them. Because some of them saying, well, if he was 63 and not 72, maybe we would hire him. Okay, because he only has 2 or 3 years left. I'm sorry, how many years does Nick Sirianni have left in Philadelphia? How many years is David Tepper in Carolina going to give Dave Canales, the new head coach?
Six games, right.
We're certain that Mike McDonald, who I believe is the youngest coach in the league in Seattle, is going to get 5 years. We're certain that Brian Callahan with Tennessee is going to be there for a decade. We're certain that even, and I hate doing this, I think this guy is so deserving of a head coaching job, and I would want him as my head coach, just not in this scenario. We're certain Raheem Morris is going to be in Atlanta forever. Great, congratulations. I had somebody very smart tell me recently about in business. Businesses, teams, organizations, if you act and claim you're a family, you're in big trouble. You don't cut your family. You don't trade your family. You don't salary cap, you know, casualties to your family. You don't do any of that. You don't waive them. I mean, you can, but you get the overall point. This is a team. This is a business. I talked to Damian Woody about this. He said the example he gets is it's a brotherhood, not a family. There is a difference. This has become utterly absurd. The amount of negativity about Belichick, and someone is going to be smart enough to hire him, and he's going to win again, and he's going to win big again. And it may be your team.
It may be my team. Yes, Nick Sirianni might well be on his last legs in Philadelphia. This is a prove-it year for him, obviously. I think the same could be said in some sense about Brian Daboll with the Giants. And the same could be said about Mike McCarthy in Dallas. And from that article, we are led to believe that those are three places where Bill Belichick would like to coach. But as someone who is such a big fan of Belichick and has observed him over the years, mm-hmm. I'm dying just to ask you, how did this break down? Is it merely a byproduct of so much time, and it's so difficult to maintain relationships of this level over that much time? Is it the way that it ended with Tom Brady? Is it the fact that the results at the end were so undesirable? Is it some combination thereof? But how do we get to a place where Robert Kraft is saying these things, which, in my opinion, should be very far beneath him?
Give me a scissors. We'll cut it right there, and we'll answer that question coming up. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Mariano Rivera here or something? Do you even get that?
Yeah, this is his,
okay,
this is his walkout song.
What's the song called?
Song.
Yeah.
This is Enter Sandman. By
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today, presented by Progressive Insurance. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance with Progressive. Okay, so the Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, Atlanta Falcons job search conversation has become a huge one based on the excellent story that came out there, ESPN.com, about Belichick being quote-unquote voted off of the island, so to speak, of NFL head coaches. Damian Woody, former Patriot, ESPN NFL analyst, joined us this morning on Unsportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, and had this to say about why he does not understand why Robert Kraft allegedly is not supporting Bill Belichick to get another head coaching job.
What the hell is going on, like, with Robert Kraft? Like, what did Bill do to you to have this type of vitriol to go out there and to, like, have that conversation with Arthur Blank to sabotage Bill Belichick in that interview process? I don't get it, man. Like, this man has got you 6 world championships.
Yeah.
Like, the way Bill elevated the New England Patriots, we talk about the Patriots along the lines of the Cowboys. I'm talking about as far as prestige as a franchise, the Cowboys, the Steelers, you know, all those type of teams. It just baffles me as a former player to see, you know, see the owner stabbing the guy in the back, man, for all he's done for the organization.
Hembo, you had a question about the way in which we're looking at this and how we're feeling about this. And Damian, obviously, with great insight there.
Very few are in closer proximity to this story than you, having lived it for the last 20 years as a huge fan, as an observer. And what's not obvious to me is how we got here. You know, it's one thing for, you know, relationships to tear over the course of time. But given all that Bill Belichick did for Robert Kraft, under Robert Kraft, how did we reach a place where this article could even happen? Is it the way that Tom Brady left? Is it the poor results at the very end? Is there personal animosity? Are there things that Bill Belichick did that we don't know about that undermined Robert Kraft or anything of the kind? It's just not obvious to me how such a thing could even happen given the success that they've enjoyed together.
Okay, so a few things on this. First of all, I believe that Bill Belichick ran the organization the way in which Robert Kraft dreamed of an organization to be run. I think that is kind of lost in all of this. At no point during the last 20 years did Robert Kraft say, you know, I'd like you to extend this player. I'd like you to actually get this rid of this player one day after they're valuable, not one day before they're not valuable anymore. He never did that. I think it was probably won over really early on in this entire process when Robert Kraft, at least per the documentary, The Dynasty, wanted him to start Drew Bledsoe when Drew Bledsoe came back. And Belichick said, no, I'm going to start 12. Brady's going to play. And he stood up to his boss, which is not easy in any walk of life to do. And it was documented that Kraft thought he should have gone with Bledsoe. He went with Brady. Six Super Bowl rings later, we understand why, obviously. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that there may be, if I had to guess, that there is some regret on the part of Kraft that he allowed Belichick to make every decision for the entirety of the time, because if he didn't allow him to make one singular decision, one, he probably would feel differently about this whole thing. If he just stepped in his mind, I'm guessing, if he just stepped in and said, I'm sorry you can't get rid of Brady, and if that means you're going to go, I understand, but I cannot get rid of Tom Brady. I think so much of this is that he has immense regret at seeing Brady win a Super Bowl in a Bucs uniform, and he loves Brady and likes Brady. I think probably deep down he loves Belichick. I don't think he likes Belichick. Mm. And I think that Belichick did exactly what Kraft actually wanted to get done, but because Belichick and Kraft were not best of friends along the way, because Belichick is not a mushy kind of person, and crediting Robert Kraft all throughout, I think at some point it's like, okay, I can deal with this if we're going to win the entire time, but if we're going to lose, it's not worth it. But that doesn't mean, if it is true that he badmouthed or downsold Belichick to someone else, that doesn't make that okay. See, to me, if you were to say to me, and I'm Kraft in this spot,
mm-hmm.
and I'm being asked by Arthur Blank, what do you think about me hiring Belichick? My response, if I want to go negative, has to be measured in my negativity. I think I have to say something along the lines of, well, we went to 9 Super Bowls together. We won 6 of them. We were never best friends. We are never going to be best friends. But my version of him in what would have been year 21 would probably be different than your version of him in year 1. So I don't know the kind of advice that I can give you. That is literally saying nothing. Nothing. I said absolutely nothing. Because if that quote gets leaked, it's not a story.
Not at all.
It's avoiding the advice altogether, right? It's avoiding the advice. And so in this specific case, I think so much of what has us up in arms is we are stunned that Robert Kraft could provide negative feedback about Bill Belichick when he won six, got to nine. And the franchise value of where it was prior to Belichick's arrival versus past Belichick's departure is night and day.
Oh, of course. So I think you identified the heart of the problem here. And it was the fact that Tom Brady goes to Tampa and wins right away. I'd have to imagine that's it. At least that's number one. Because Bob Kraft has said many times that he views and feels like Tom Brady is his son. Like that's the kind of relationship that, at least from afar, is the impression that I get that they had. Or at least that was the characterization that Bob Kraft likes to project. And so to see him win in Tampa, especially if Bill Belichick sold that bill of goods to Robert Kraft, he's done, he's past his prime, he's not going to be any good anymore, had to be a really tough pill to swallow. And so if that's the last thing and the strongest thing that you take away from Belichick's tenure, that's really the only way that I view any of this as explicable, is that he went, it was a disqualifying opinion to get rid of Brady, because as you'll recall, there was a time in which they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. Many viewed that as Tom Brady's likely successor. And in the end, the sense that I got was that Brady went to Robert Kraft and said, I want to keep playing here, and they shipped him off in the middle of the season. Am I remembering any of that incorrectly?
No, I mean, I think that's what's been speculated about and reported about. I don't think any of the three people involved outside of Garoppolo, you know, and Kraft, Belichick, and Brady have ever commented on mm-hmm. it in any way, shape, or form. And I think that we like to put the verses between people when really we should be putting the and.
Mm.
And this is yet another example of a versus. We went for years with Belichick versus Brady. I think now we've gone to Belichick and Brady more so than we have in years past. I think because many people are actually following the lead of Belichick, who says players win games, coaches lose games. So Belichick has told us that Brady's more important than him. Belichick has said that.
He would acknowledge
Belichick literally yesterday on Pat McAfee's show said Tom Brady's the greatest football player to ever play. Yesterday, he said that. Now we're trying to put the verses between Belichick and Kraft, which I think is way more of a versus than any other relationship in this triangle. I think Belichick and Kraft is way more of the versus than anything else. But again, and I am a fan of all of these guys. But factually, who owned the team when Bill Parcells left? Robert Kraft. Who owned the team when Pete Carroll was fired? Robert Kraft. Not saying he was wrong about any of these. Who owned the team when Tom Brady left? Robert Kraft. And who owned the team when Bill Belichick left? Robert Kraft. Better be right. He's the last man standing. He's the one in charge. He owns the team. You cannot sit there and say, well, Belichick got rid of Brady. No, he didn't. Belichick was allowed to move on from Tom Brady. Didn't have to be allowed to be moved on from Tom Brady. And I think so much of this is Kraft believes he picked the wrong guy. And then he'll never get over picking the wrong guy. He believes he should have picked Belichick or Brady over Belichick. And I think that is so much of the strife behind all of this. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.